Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The buzzer went off, but the conversation never stops. This is Overtime with Jake Volnick. We are Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
Happy Friday, Cleveland. It is an opportunity for the Cleveland Guardians to clinch their playoff berth. And we are now just, I mean, you boil it down. I'm not going to attempt to do the math in hours right now, but less than 48 of them away from Browns, Lions, an opportunity to put together a win streak. And it's been quite some time since we've had one of those. 2023, I believe, to be exact. It's the Browns take on the Lions. We're going to be excited. We got plenty of stuff surrounding Browns, Lions for you guys tonight. We're going to react to the Guardians when they wrap up. Whole big show. We have Jax Gregory running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind glass. James Bridges with us tonight. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime from 7 to 11. And I'm kind of in a weird spot just about this game. Because, guys, I told you earlier in the week, and I'm going to continue to say to you tonight, I'm not sitting here and projecting a Browns win. As far as I know, we did not get a Nick Wilson guarantee this week. So nobody should be feeling great about the Browns' chances against the Lions. What a coward, by the way. Nick should have given the guarantee. He should have backed it. Back-to-back weeks would have been the way to do it. I really just want to have a guarantee where he's wrong because he went out on a limb and got pretty lucky that he was right last week. I just want an opportunity. You got to try to kill the guarantee as fast as it can when you're consistently right. Because then, if not, I mean, when I'm on with on Monday with Nick, I know that's still going to be dangled over his head because I'm going to bring it up at some point. Seemed like I didn't guarantee a win this week, and look what happened. Well, maybe you should have, Nick. Maybe you should have guaranteed a win. Maybe they would have won. But I don't feel overly confident in this game, but it's not to sit here and say that I think the Browns have no chance either. Like, I think last week, if anything, should have proved to you that when the Browns go and take on a Packers team that looked as good as any team in the NFL, like, they were the NFC favorites to come out of the NFC to get to the Super Bowl. They were on an incredible run, especially defensively, but even offensively, were still playing really good football. And then you came out and managed to hold them to 10 points in a game. You managed to keep it close. You kept their offense in check. Yes, their defense kept you in check, but that was the expectation. Like, the expectation was that the offense wasn't getting anything going. I mean, you can rewind through the Packers' opponents. They played good offenses and good offenses that did not score 20 points. So as bad as a performance as I truthfully believe that was, it's also not a situation that I look at and I'm like, oh, well, the Browns should have done so much more by putting points on the board. It's like, no, not really. Like, again, the expectation was that you didn't go out there and score. It would have been nice. It would have been nice to see the offense function and actually look good. But in the box score, I wasn't expecting very much. In fact, I think I gave my prediction of the game on Sunday, and it was like 20-14 Packers. Yeah, so you put up about as many points as I thought that you would. put up one less point than the expectation. I didn't expect you to do it through two field goals, but we'll take what we can get. This is a game, though, that if I watch the Browns win this, there should be no doubt, no matter how this game looks, that it should reignite your faith in the Browns season, even if the offense looks terrible in this game. If the defense does enough to where they keep the Lions in check after already making a game competitive and pulling out a win against the Packers, there should be no doubt that you have faith the Browns season can go as far as they could possibly take it. Like, this is the week that you look at and say, okay, if you manage to pull out a win, I think this honestly changes even when you get to next week a little bit, but not that much. Like, within the next 3 weeks, if you're pulling out a win, how many times leading into this year did we talk about the first six games and go, really, I mean, if you walk out of this 2-4, you still have a shot. Like, there's still something there that as the year goes on, you are playing worse football teams. You should have a better chance to actually put wins up. I probably said that 50 times before the season started. 2-4 was the number. If you get to 3-3, you were in a miraculous spot. But if you can pull off another win in the first six games, there's no reason why this season can't take off. Again, it doesn't have to be the offense looking good. At some point, the offense has got to turn around. If they're going to win this week, the offense has to turn it around, I would think. I also said something similar last week where, like, the offense at least has to look competent in that game. They didn't look competent, and they still won. A fluky win, a lot of good plays made by the defense and by special teams at the end to put you in a position, but you still pulled out the win at the end of the day. There's a path to victory in every single Browns game that we're watching. That's what last week told me. It might not be the most repeatable path to victory. It might not be the one that anybody desires, but there is a path to victory, and it's through the Browns' defense. Like, I have to look at every game as if they have a shot, because I can't sit here and act as if the defense isn't carrying you through these games and isn't good enough to carry you through these games and make these games close. The Lions are riding high right now. They've scored 90 points over the course of 2 weeks. That is a team that's as hot as you could ask for. If you shut that team down, even if you lose this game in a way, it should probably inspire a little confidence, but especially if you win it, there's no way that I'm not coming on the air on Monday and telling you guys that there should be a real faith behind this team. There should be a belief that this team can't only just be a 7-win football team, but can make the push towards, you know, 8-9 wins, and they can get something out of it, something that is enjoyable to watch, something that leaves you with faith every single Sunday. No matter what week it is, the fact that you can pull out wins like that would be the proving ground. It would show you everything that you need to see. So I think that there's a lot riding on this game if you're a Browns fan. Like, I think everything sits here, and it's not just, can the offense look better? Can the offense do their part? It does truthfully go down to, like, the, you know, did you win, did you not win question. If you answer, did you win, and the answer is yes, you have to be bought back in, I feel like. Like, I don't know how you come away with doom and gloom if the Browns sit at 2-2 given the schedule. As much as we hyped it up, as much as we talked about the six games and how hard they were going to be, if at any point during that you were 500, there had to be a good feeling there, and it couldn't be 1-1, by the way. That was not anywhere past the first two games you ended up 500 during that stretch. You have to feel good. Again, it took two wins. Two wins out of the six teams. You're not looking to be a Super Bowl competitor this year. There's probably not a real way where you ever would be anywhere close to sniffing a Super Bowl. Even if things planned out perfectly for you and Dylan Gabriel was the answer at quarterback and looked great, you probably still couldn't sniff a Super Bowl. Or Shedeur Sanders was a incredible talent. As soon as he steps on the field, you're probably still not getting there. You are more than a quarterback away if you're the Cleveland Browns. But again, everything that I see, if I'm looking for competitive football, if I'm looking for just a team that goes out there and can get you to a competitive, you know, 5-6-7-win team, that conversation about, oh, you're a competitive 4-win team, you're a competitive 5-win team, it kind of goes out the window if you go 2-2. There's no way you go down the back stretch of this year if you beat the Packers and the Lions and drop all of your games to teams like the Titans, the Dolphins, and the Jets. I don't believe that those games can result in that way when you put up this type of performance. I just think it's incredibly wrong if you walk into this game and just go, that's a loss. Right? If you go, there's no way the Browns are winning that. The Packers game should have eliminated that conversation right out of the gate. If the Browns are 0-3 right now, I would fault nobody. I'd be like, you know what? You make a really good point. This game might be a loss because they haven't shown a way that they can beat good teams. They're either going to shoot themselves in the foot or the other team's going to run all over them. Both figuratively and probably at that point, I mean, maybe literally, but the way the defense has been playing doesn't look that way. When they show you the path to victory, this has to be the thing that you turn around and you look at and you say the Browns do have a real chance. Like, I'm in a way fully bought back in just to the fact that you can win this game. And honestly, fully bought back in for at least the next three games. If you go 1-5, it's going to be a hard sell. Right? You better not be having the same quarterback rolling into week 7 if you are 1-5 on the year. That's not acceptable. Like, Joe's minimum threshold was 2-4. And I don't even know that the way the offense has functioned, you could go back to Joe if you were 2-4 and things looked similar. But it 2-4, again, the schedule plays out in a way that you were never supposed to start well. You were never supposed to come out and be the red-hot team. And that's obviously why the Bengals' loss, I think, stings a little bit more. That was your opportunity to immediately have two wins on the board, be 2-1, and then truthfully, the sky's the limit. But even now you look at it, I mean, you're going to play the Vikings, and whether it's going to be Carson Wentz or it's going to be J.J. McCarthy, and what's much more likely to be Carson Wentz at this point, I can't fear the Carson Wentz-led Vikings right now. That's not a team I can be scared of. That's a very winnable game in London. The schedule and even the first six games have played out in a way that gives you chance and gives you hope. I'm just looking for anything that I can right now, especially in the beginning of the year, right? I'm desperately searching for a reason to be positive with this team coming out of the Baltimore loss. The thing is, now you don't have to search for it, and a win this week would eliminate any sort of search. It would be screaming back at your face. It would be staring you in the eyes. As bad as the team has looked, at the end of the day, it boils down to wins and losses. We can talk about 2026 when 2026 gets here, but when we talk 2025, it boils down to wins and losses and how you feel about this team, especially early on. If they have a chance to reel you back in, there shouldn't be a reason to sit there and fight it actively. Because at that point, you will be active. You will be doing everything in your power to fight the idea that this team can actually be something because you don't like one of the way or, you know, some of the parts of the team actually look, specifically the offense. You're not going to like the way they function. Well, you don't necessarily need the team to be hitting on all cylinders to pick up wins. That's what this shows you. A competitive game shows you the Browns are at least worth tuning into on Sundays. I just don't know where the negativity will come from because I sensed it after the Packers win. Again, yes, a fluky win, but the negativity rode high. Everybody was in on the negativity, and still it felt like as much as we celebrated the win and as much as we were happy, it was a lot more stunned and a lot more people sitting back going, that's never going to happen again. And I get that part of it, but that can't be the same 2 weeks in a row if it were to happen. That can't be the feeling. Back-to-back times, at some point, it doesn't look like this is going to work, you start to buy in the fact that it's actually working. 216-474-0092, would a win over the Lions reignite your faith in the Browns season? We're also going to get to the Station Buzz coming your way later this hour at 740. Lance Rice on Cleveland.com joins us at 8 o'clock, as he always does on Fridays. We're going to talk Get a Grip at 9 o'clock, as we always do, immediately followed by Ben Bosher of 100.9 The Mitt up in Michigan, getting us his Lions takes as well. We'll talk to him a little bit about a potential matchup between the Guardians and the Tigers that we could see in the playoffs. Of course, we'll react to the Guardians when they wrap up. Heroes and Villains, then the show. But right now, 216-474-0092, would a win over the Lions reignite your faith in this season? We're going to listen to something that Nathan Zagura has to say when we come back that sort of lays out the way that the Browns are going to have to get this done, and I think supports my point even more. Browns also going to have to use this game as a measuring stick. We'll get to your calls and all of it coming up in 5 minutes, right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
On 92.3 The Fan. Here on Overtime, we're asking you 216-474-0092. Would a win over the Lions reignite your faith in the Browns season? Again, I struggle to say there's really a path to getting a no there. Like, I just don't see where it comes. And it really doesn't matter to me how the victory looks. If you manage to win this game 3-0, I don't care. Like, it's ugly. The offense, I'm sure, would look bad in that case. You didn't put up a point on the board. You definitely look bad. But, like, it doesn't matter to me. There's still something tangible there to say the defense is so good, you are legitimately going to be in every single game. You just have to find ways to score. And if you can do that against teams like the Lions and teams like the Packers, well, then you can certainly do it against the lesser opponents further down the schedule that's going to keep this team competitive. And you'd imagine as the year went on, you probably have a better chance of putting up points on the board and this offense actually looking competent. Again, we're going to get to some of your guys' calls here coming up in just a minute, but I did want to play Nathan Zagura on this morning with Ken and Anthony, and he laid out his keys to beating Detroit, which I think just kind of helps support what I'm going for here.
The Browns have gone out and shut down the number one rushing attack in the league from last year, certainly in the Baltimore Ravens. Then they shut down Josh Jacobs, who had come in on a historic heater. He'd scored a rushing touchdown in 11 straight games. They kept him out of the end zone and limited him to just over 2 yards a carry. So we've done a good job against the run, and that's going to be key again. You've got to do a good job against the run because when Jared Goff is able to get in that good rhythm and they can use that play action, they do a great job of marrying the run in the pass. He is as deadly, and he is so underrated, so underappreciated, leading the league right now at 77.9% completions, 120 rating. He's been simply sensational. And so if you can try to turn them into a drop back passing team, I'm not saying it's going to guarantee success, but at least it gives you an opportunity for success. And then on the flip side, we've got to score points. We have not scored 20 points in a game without Jameis Winston as the quarterback since Joe Flacco helped the Browns beat the Jets on Thursday night and clinch the playoffs at the end of 23. So we have got to score the football if you want to beat a team that's coming in having scored 90 points in their last two games.
Okay, so obviously a large portion of that, I'm going to cover the back half of it here too, but like a large portion of it just relied on the defense. It's like you're going to need them to be good. You're going to have to shut down the run game. You're going to have to then get out after Jared Goff, which should be easier this week, comparing the fact that you've played Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Jordan Love, all quarterbacks who, I'm not saying they're all Lamar Jackson and can all be incredibly mobile, but they can all move. Goff is a statue. Like, slightly less than Joe Flacco because Joe's feet are literally in cement, but he is a statue. He does not move in the pocket. If you put them into obvious passing down situations, you play good man-to-man coverage that I trust this defense to play, you're going to be set up in an opportunity to get after Jared Goff and actually get after the quarterback and create, you know, punts, create turnovers on downs, and hopefully create a takeaway for this defense. again, the offense has to begin to answer the call. I think you also look at things and you go, as bad as the offense has looked for two straight weeks now, you also played two very good defenses. Like, the Ravens defense is still really good. And clearly the Packers are one of the best defenses in all of the NFL, right up there with the Browns. Lions defense isn't that. I'm not saying they're terrible. They're not the Bengals defense from week one, but they're also not the 2 weeks that you've just played. Like, you were two kicks away, two very makeable kicks away from being able to put up 20 in week one, even as bad as the offense looked. And it did look bad. You go 3 weeks past that. I know that thoughts are down on the offense. It's not crazy to think you could put up 20 points against the Lions. It's really not. I don't know that they're going to do it. I don't know that I'm going to, you know, predict the fact that they do it, because I just haven't seen it from the offense. But I'm not going to be blown away if they do. It's certainly in the realm of possibility. You can score on that defense. It's possible. With Quinshon Judkins in the backfield, the way he ran the ball last week, you should be able to create some semblance of a passing game at all, even with a good run defense on the other side. Again, the Packers were the second best run defense in all of football. Quinshon still almost went for 100 yards. You're still going to be able to run it. I just think the path there, it's not crazy, and we're getting to a point where the win has to matter. Again, 216-474-0092. Would a win over the Lions reignite your faith in the season? Let's go out to the phones. Todd is in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
Yep, my faith is already lit, but all the flames aren't lit up. So my faith is lit. But there's more candles to be lit and torches. So, yes, it would. And this is the reason why. Because two games down in the season to your division rivals is a very big thing to overcome. I was listening to you talk about 2-4. You'd have been satisfied with that in the first six games. But would you have been satisfied with those 2-4, with two of those losses being with the division? Probably not.
I mean, less so. I don't think it throws it out the window, though. Like, I don't expect this team to go win the AFC North. So, like, the division still matters, obviously, and you still have to play the Ravens and the Bengals again, but I'm not expecting them to go win the AFC North. I mean, the highest of hope is basically slip into the playoffs.
Well, slipping into the playoffs is probably going to require you to have more wins in the division.
Definitely.
And that 20 points that they scored against Denver, they lost that game. I don't want to hear about that. So... Here's where I am with it. They don't. As much as I would like to see them score 20 points, it's clear to me that they do not need 20 points to beat the Detroit Lions. They have to play better throughout the game. I know Joe's going to get body slammed five times. That's going to happen. I don't know that he's going to finish the game. They're going to hit him. Even they're going to get late hits on him, even though he lets the ball go. Expect that to happen. So, but 20 points, I'm not even thinking about that for this win. I am concerned about that dude. They're gonna put the same dude on him that they put on Lamar Jackson, and they know he can't move like Lamar Jackson. Gabriel Givens gets them to a win. That's what I'm looking to see happen.
I would much rather go with Dylan Gabriel. And Todd, I appreciate the call.
I called him Gabriel Givens, didn't I?
You
that's
did.
A crooked,
Dylan
that's
Gabriel.
A crooked cop I know in the city of Cleveland. That's a whole different guy. Dylan Gabriel. Yeah, Dylan Gabriel, an honorable football player, not a crooked cop. Okay.
All right, Todd, appreciate the call. I don't know where we're going there. But, I mean, he got half of it, right? He was halfway there. Dylan Gabriel was close enough. I mean, listen, you got half the name right. You're good, Todd. But, like... you might have to score 20. Again, the Lions offense, I don't want to act like this team's not going to score this week. They're going to score. Like, as great as the defense is, and I do have a ton of faith, this game's not going to be 3-0. You're not going to keep the Lions scoreless. You're not going to hold them to just 10 points like you did the Packers. This is an offense that is that good. Now, I don't know that they go out and score 20. I would probably think that they would. Hey, they're going to get on the board. They're probably going to, you know, string together a couple of drives. They're going to get the defense tired. There's a really good run game there, probably better than, and crazy as it is, probably better than any of the run games we've seen so far. And Nathan talked about just how accurate Jared Goff is. He's leading the NFL right now. Like, again, it's a good offense. 90 points in 2 weeks is nothing to scoff at. So I think the offense does have to get it going. But again, it's not the defenses that you've played against. There is a world here. Keep going with the phone calls here. Ben is in Garfield. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. If we win this one, sir, my question to you is, do the national pundits put us within the top 10 best teams in the NFL right now?
I don't think so. I don't think they'd give them that credit, even with the two great... I see where what you're saying, but I don't think they give them the credit, even with the two wins that they have.
All right. I'm just saying Green Bay and Detroit are two of the best... two of the top 10 teams in the NFL. So if we can win this one, I mean, we would have been 3-1 with a couple... field goals, but I got faith in this team, man. I think this defense is going to take us, and I'm sorry, I think this defense is going to take us to a Super Bowl this year. We're doing that this year.
Ben is much higher than I am. Ben, I appreciate the call. He was on such a good path. He was like, I could see the top 10 team argument, right? Like, the defense is that good. You just beat the Lions, you just beat the Packers, and he went Super Bowl. I can't go Super Bowl.
I almost fell out of my chair.
You did. You were pretty close. I looked over there for a second. I saw your jaw drop, and I saw you start to lean a little bit. And I was like, Jack, stay with us. We're going to need your help on the board. Don't go anywhere. But, like, yeah, I can't tell you they're going to win a Super Bowl. I can't tell you that they deserve to be a top 10 team even with these losses. Or even with the wins that they would pick up with the Lions win this week. I don't really care if the national media puts you as a top 10 team. You have two great wins. Even if you fall to 2-4, you have two great wins on the the schedule that probably nobody was projecting. I managed to get them to 2-4 when we played the schedule game, and I told you guys it was going to be Bengals and it was going to be Vikings because I didn't believe in J.J. McCarthy, and I don't predict week one losses, and they should have won that game. I just don't see where a negativity would come in. I'm not saying you got to be Ben. I'm not saying you got to say they're going to go to the Super Bowl or they should be a top 10 team. There should be faith here that can lead, an average season. There can be faith here that, there is an unexpected to the Brown season than from where we started. That's sort of where it goes. Like, this game to me, it is a measuring stick. I don't like week four measuring sticks most of the time in the NFL, because I think a team that you get in week four looks a hell of a lot different than they look in week 14. But especially when we talk about this defense, this is the measuring stick game where you find out just how good they actually are. Because the Ravens' run game, as great as Derrick Henry is, that offensive line, not looking all that good right now. The Lions also played pretty well against Derrick Henry in that game. Yes, he found the end zone. Yes, it was not his best day. I think this is the one where you go, okay, the interior of the offensive line for the Lions, a little bit younger. Obviously, you have Penei Sewell out on the outside. He's very good. You're going to get tested. And this run game has proved week in and week out, except when they play the Packers, that the run game has a chance to keep the Lions offense basically to be productive, force teams to try to stop it, and that opens up their passing game, yes. So this is your measuring stick. This is the game that you look at and you say, if they're able to do it against the Lions, there is not a team in the NFL that the defense can't hold up against. And they might not be the top defense for 18 straight weeks. They might, have a game where they crumble. But if you do it against the Lions, there's no doubt of what the truth of the defense is. It's already pretty clear, but this would be this stamp that if it seals it all. The defense is legit, and they are a top five defense in the NFL. The Lions are that test. You got to go out and actually do it now. If you can do it, though, the defense is the thing that's going to carry you through the season. They are the thing that's going to help you get wins. It then just turns to the offense. As soon as you pick it up, that's when the sky becomes the limit. That's when this team can truly be uncorked, and you don't know what's going to happen. But you're going to be competitive every week. You're going to have an opportunity to win every week, no matter what's in front of you, if the defense proves this week that they're the real deal. Let's go back out of the phones. Alfonso's in New York. What's going on, Alfonso?
What's up, Jake? How are we doing tonight, man?
Hey, we're doing pretty good, okay? I would be better if Guardians wanted to get off to a hot start, but we're not doing bad.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. We still got time. Anyway, me and you, we're done with Flacco. I've been done with Flacco for a while. We've had this discussion. Anyway, listen, my three key matchups this week are, I'm going to listen to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Myles Garrett on Penei Sewell.
Okay.
Denzel Ward on Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Okay.
Aiden Hutchinson against our whole offensive lineman. Maybe primarily the tackle, probably K.C. Lovingston, because he's the weakness. It made worse. Didn't you say he's like the worst PFF left lineman?
It wasn't PFF. It was when you put it was island rate compared to pass block win rate. Yeah, he's at the very bottom of the graph on both times. He's getting a ton of help and also losing basically every pass block that he has.
Okay, so And listen, I don't think the Browns will score 18 points this game, but it won't come from Joe Flacco, Quinshon, none of the offense or the defense. Andre Schmidt will kick all field goals and make them all this week. And the Browns will beat the Lions will beat the Browns. The Browns ain't winning this game, but the Lions will beat the Browns 21-18 on the last second. Jake Bates 61-yard field goal that no one's expecting the Lions to make because they play in the dome, and Jake Bates has hit from 60 yards before, and I think that Lions will beat the Browns 21-18. And I got an Ohio State score 42, Ohio State over Washington 38-24. Ohio. All right, there we go.
There we go. I'd take that. I mean, line's a lot closer on Ohio State. And Alfonso, I appreciate the call. A lot closer on Ohio State. It's like a 7.5-point spread. That's ridiculous. I don't think Andre Schmidt's getting to kick 6 field goals in this game. But I do think the 3 matchups that you highlighted were actually really good matchups to highlight. Like Myles Garrett and Penei Sewell. I mean, Myles is going to be everywhere on the defensive line. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunity to rush through the middle. But that's a big matchup. I don't even know if Denzel's going to be the guy on Amonra, but I don't hate it if he is. And Aiden Hutchinson isn't going to be a problem, especially if he lines up over the left tackle, who might be Cornelius Lucas, might be KT Leviston, might be the guy they just signed off the Patriots practice squad. Don't feel confident in either of the three, any of the three.
Zero and five.
All right, let's leave that there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
When we come on back here in 5 minutes, we'll get to the most pressing things said by our station's guest today. With the Station Buzz, right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Lance Reisling, Coach Riz, Cleveland.com, joining us here coming up in about 17 minutes at 8 o'clock. We'll get all of the Lions keys to victory, or the Browns keys to victory against the Lions, rather, when we talk to Lance coming up here at 8. And we'll get some insight into some other things that have gone around with Browns this week and the injury report. All of it come your way, again, in about 17 minutes. But without further ado, let's get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today with the Station Buzz. All right, let's kick things off. Nathan Zagura of the Browns Radio Network on today with Ken and Anthony. And he talked about the issues up front for the Browns offense and what it's actually doing to Joe Flacco.
The issues at tackle, they're real. Cornelius Lucas has given up 19 pressures so far in 3 games. That's amongst the league leaders. And Joe Flacco, I think, knowing his mobility limitations, he sped up a little bit. So I think there are times when there are plays to be made down the field, but necessarily we're getting our eyes down and we're saying, let's get rid of this football and avoid the big play.
Like, it's a veteran mentality from Joe, and I get this side of it, but hey, at some point, as bad as the offensive line is, sort of part of the reason that I go to the veteran quarterback is looking at this and say, Joe should know when to get rid of the football, right? Like, and he should be able to understand that if I don't trust the guys in front of me, this offense isn't going to do anything. And if I sit here and I just watch what they've done for three straight weeks, the offense has done just about nothing. They have not been able to protect me, and we haven't done anything. But, like, you go back and you watch the tape, and it's... You got to see the same plays that everybody on social media has seen when they break down the All-22. It's like, oh, you mean Isaiah Bond was wide open down that play, and if I do just hold on to it a little bit and I go through my progressions, I'm going to find Isaiah Bond. This offense is built on getting rid of the ball quickly. That play in particular, the one that exploded on social media where it was like, how did Joe not see him? How did Joe not get to him? It was felt like it was set up to be the deep shot to Bond. Like, you went through, it was play action. That route takes a little bit longer to develop down the field. You just had to wait for it. Your check down was there. Joe wasn't under, like, insane distress on that play. That's the mental of it. That's, I know how quick I'm getting hit on most of these drop packs. I got to get rid of the ball now. And it is. It's that internal clock being sped up because Joe goes, what I felt like was enough time in years past is not enough time right now. But if you're Joe, you got to find a way to eliminate that. I would rather you sit there, as weird as it is, I'd rather you sit there and take sacks to some degree than just try to dump it down to the check down every time that's not open. You got to take shots. And to beat the Lions, you're going to have to take shots down the field. That's going to require the offensive line to play a little bit better, and that's going to be a tough week to do it. Jack Conklin's questionable for this game. He's not a guarantee to play. And, of course, you're also going with who knows at left tackle, especially if Jack's out. Like, I need you to be able to trust your offensive line to take those shots. That play ends up in being a sack. Hell, at least you were looking down the field. You were looking for your guy to be open because the checkdowns just aren't going to get it done. So even if you're hitting the checkdown, you're getting the completion, it's basically a stat stuffer. It's not what Joe's trying to do, but it is basically a stat stuffer of a stat, just being like, oh, my completion percentage goes up. I get it. You're trying to get it to your guy to make a play. You got to get it to the right guy on some of these plays. You have to get chunk plays against the Lions. All right, let's keep it football. Daryl Ryder, our very own Cleveland sports beat reporter, on today with both Ken and Anthony and Nick and Earl. We go to Ken and Anthony, though, where he talked about the hard sell for the locker room at quarterback.
This has been my argument against making the change, is you have to sell that within the locker room to the veterans. And you know, when the messaging from the organization when it comes to Dylan Gabriel has basically been, we'll see him, and when we see him, it's going to be for developmental and look-see purposes, right? And I don't know how you can sell, you can transition after saying that all along to Dylan Gabriel, who is a third-round pick, now gives us the best chance to win a football game.
Again, I hear Daryl's point. I just feel like the thought process behind Joe gives you the best chance to win the game is kind of gone out the window at this point. Like, I don't see how Joe is truthfully the best quarterback to play in this particular offense. He is a better quarterback than Dylan Gabriel. I believe that in my heart of hearts. I think that talent-wise, you basically go, you know, attribute for attribute on the two players. You end up with Joe being the better player, but the things that need to be done in the offense that aren't getting done right now are the things that Dylan can do better than Joe. And it's like, I just don't know how you can convince a locker room that, hey, this 40-year-old veteran who we've just seen get killed for 3 weeks, and you see the box score at the end of the game, you know there's not points going up on the board. That's our best chance to win. Like, defense has got to turn around at some point and be like, guys, I can't be expected to hold every single team to 10 points, and we're in a drag them out, shoot them out, but that's definitely not what's happening. But we're just in a defensive stalemate for most of the game, and then we have to just bank on the offense doing more than their offense, and not because the other defense is great, but because our offense is so inept that you're just hoping they can match the absolute stuffed offense on the other side. You got to turn around and be like, if we just put points on the board, this team would be great. Let's find somebody to put points on the board. There's got to be another option. Even if it doesn't work, at least you're selling to me that you're trying. Instead of just rolling Joe back out there with a similar game plan every week of, let's protect the football, let's not take too many shots down the field, let's not put the ball in harm's way, when we've seen that consistently fail over and over and over again. Another one here in the world of football, Nick Bumgarner, on with Nick and Earl from The Athletic, and he talked about the 2026 quarterback class, who is the leader for the quarterback first off the board.
My QB1 right now is probably Garrett Nussmeier from LSU, or maybe we'll see in a couple weeks here once he gets tested. Mendoza, the kid from Indiana, has also been fantastic. So those two have been great. Still really like Lenore Sellers, the big kid from South Carolina, who's got a lot of potential and I think is closer to being ready than people probably realize. Also, John Mateer from Oklahoma has made a run here. Dante Moore from Oregon is playing well. So there's a lot of guys this year, guys. It's not just, you know, QB1 I think is going to be up for debate, but I think the bigger question this year is how many first-round quarterbacks are we going to see? And I think you could still have a situation where we're looking at like 7 or 8, you know, in this group.
7 or 8 is a ridiculously large number, and it's not to say that Nick's in any way wrong, because there certainly are quarterbacks in that conversation. I thought it was interesting. As much as I'm not the biggest Carson Beck believer, he's putting on a really good season at Miami to start the year. And he was in that conversation to start last year. It's not that hard of a sell to me to get him back into that conversation. Mendoza's the interesting one, though. Like, you just put up 63 on Illinois, which is supposed to be a good defense. You got to get tested a little bit more. You have to see him against better competition. Like, it's certainly a name to watch. Guys that I'm absolutely out on this point includes one name and one name only, I think. That's Cade Klubnik. If you draft Cade Klubnik, I'm out. Like, I'm so out for the 2026 season if Cade Klubnik is my pick off the board. No, thank you. I've seen enough of him in 4 games at Clemson, losing to Syracuse, barely beating Tulsa. What was the other game? Georgia Tech, right? They lost to Georgia Tech. Like, no, I'm out on all of those. You can't lose those games to the big-time quarterback. That's not a winning mentality with what is a good team.
It was Troy also. I said Tulsa?
Yeah, yeah. It was Troy. All right. Good call. Neither one of them is a good game to have close for Clemson, by the way. Tulsa would not have been any better. But you're right. It was Troy. Like, that's your one win on the season if you're Cade Klubnik. I can't have that. But there's a lot of names out there. I'm still very open at quarterback. I think we're also realizing right now, as good as the 2026 quarterback class is supposed to be, we thought there were going to be very clear front runners. You're not getting that. And it's not because there's so many guys playing well that you can't just decide. It's because Arch hasn't looked good. Klubnik hasn't looked good. Lenore Sellers has looked fine, but has also not been perfect. And it's like, yeah, you got the couple of names like Morris, like Mendoza. You're like, oh, they were good. And we thought they were going to be good. They've also surprised us. We don't know anything about this quarterback class yet, except for the fact that there's going to be plenty of options. All right, let's talk Guardians real quick. Obviously, in action against the Texas Rangers. We'll react to them when they're wrapped up, but Guardians manager Stephen Vogt on the station earlier with Ken and Anthony, and he talked about how proud he is of this group and for this weekend series that they're currently engaged in right now.
The way that our season has been, everything that you guys have been through, everything that we've gone through as a group, no one's going to help us. We got to do this on our own. That's what I'm so proud of these guys for, and they have. They've gone out and they've won all these games. They've put themselves in this position to where we're going into a weekend home series at Progressive Field with the best baseball fans on the planet with a chance to win our way into the postseason. You can't ask for anything more than that. Like, that is the best scenario possible.
You honestly, like, as much as you would just like to have the division wrapped up and you'd like to have a playoff spot wrapped up right now when you're walking into this series, if you're telling me that you have to go into a final series and you have to play for it, going up against a team that's shut down most of their star players at home, a sellout crowd tonight, like, I don't know that there's a better scenario in baseball to be in. Like, you can't, if they don't get it done over the course of this weekend, that is both the division and a playoff berth. If you manage to not get one or both of those done, you didn't deserve it. Like, this is as good as it gets. You have the home crowd behind you. You have a opponent that, quite frankly, you probably should just sweep right in front of you. You should be able to do it. It should be something that's on the docket, and you have everything working in your favor. This is a group to be proud of. Stephen Vogt can probably look in the mirror and say that he should be proud of himself and the players that he's coached up to this point. They've done an incredible job. There's belief in me. There's faith that they definitely get a playoff spot. There's faith that they win the AL Central. I think you got to believe at this point. If you're still off the bandwagon, I don't really know what you're doing. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, joins us with everything Browns Lions, the keys to success, the breakdown of what Lance sees from the Lions defense and offense, how you get it done. All come your way at 8 o'clock right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.